Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Thank you, band and worship team. Such a phenomenal job, as always. Leading us over into the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, let's give it up for him. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. We've got a lot of scriptures we're going to look at this weekend, so just brace yourselves. All of them will be on the screens, and I am trying to plead my case with you and to get something big in your heart. And I have a lot of evidence from God's word that supports the argument I am presenting this weekend. And so I want to encourage you, especially if you're new to church, to feel free to take a picture or to write down these scripture references and to make sure when you get home that you go back and you refer to them and get these things just big in your heart. Our first one is in the book of John. We're going to look at John chapter 1. And verse number 6, John chapter 1 and verse number 6. This was written by the Apostle John, and he starts out reading, or writing, if you will, about John the Baptist. And there's a scripture here that has always just meant a lot to me. I'll show it to you here. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I have that highlighted. I have in parentheses. I've got a star by it, and above it, I have written, "So great." So I love this scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And somebody may ask me, they say, well, Pastor Joel, you know, it doesn't say a man sent from God whose name was Joel. So why do you have like this scripture highlighted and in parentheses and a star by it with the word "so great" written above it? In our culture, we have this perception that there are special people and then there are ordinary people. We have superheroes, we have the Avengers, we have these people who are among us, who are special, and then you have kind of everyone else. That in John's day, you had a man who was sent from God, whose name was John, and then you had everybody else until Jesus comes on the scene. But what if I told you that John was not the only man sent from God? What if I told you Ruth, and what if I told you Esther were not the only women sent from God? What if I told you that you were special, that you were designed by God and sent here by him to fulfill a specific purpose? When Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, he wrote and he said, when you see people in church, he said, it's much like a physical body. And he said, with your physical body, you have aspects of the body that will get more attention and that will receive more honor. You have facial features like a mouth or a nose or an eye or an ear that is seen by everyone. And he said, it's these members of the body that in and of themselves almost seem to attract more interest. John was one of those pieces. Before he ever stepped foot on the earth, he had parents who were lovers of Jesus. We got any lovers of Jesus in this place tonight? Amen. John had parents who were lovers of God, and with this, they were worshiping him. And out of this worship and out of this prayer, God showed them that he was going to give them a son, and this son would be special. He would be used by God for special things. And so John, growing up, that's all he knew, was that he was special. That's all he knew, was he would be used by God for something special and something unique. And we have features like that, and members of the body of Christ, even among us in this room, who will, in and of themselves, because of their position and because of where they're placed at in the body, will receive more honor. And many times will almost receive more honor than maybe they even should. But he said there are other parts of the body. And he said these parts of the body, they're not as seen. And he said with this, the temptation with these parts of the body is to think we don't have any need of them.
that with these parts of the body, they could be cast away or they could be cast aside because we don't have any need of them. And my experience as a pastor has taught me that many people see themselves that way, that they see people in pulpit ministry or they see people with a singing gift or they see preachers or pastors or apostles or prophets or whoever it may be, and they esteem them as honorable. And then you have almost everyone else who kind of like comes and goes and all of these types of things. And friend, I am telling you, it is, I almost said disgusting. That would be way too strong probably. But I think I could say and get away with, and I have liberty, I feel like in my heart, irritating to say the least to the Spirit of God. Because there are people who have so devalued themselves that they are not taking the time to seek out what they were sent here by God to do. You were sent by God. You were sent by God to this earth to do something for his plan and something for his purpose. You were sent here by God. You were not an accident. You were sent here by God, and you need to honor that, and you need to value it. Because here's what happens, next screen. When something gets devalued, it always loses its usefulness. When you begin to devalue, so anybody have like an old phone you don't use anymore? Like, it's not worth anything to you. You know, you got updated, and you got the new iPhone, or whatever it may be. And so with that, you may have an old phone that it's like, it's not worth what it was used to, so maybe I'll sell it on eBay, or maybe, you know, I'll just keep it in a drawer, or just maybe even just throw it away. Like, maybe I'll just get rid of it, because I have devalued it, because I've seen something else that I have placed a greater value on. Therefore, I will use this, but I will not use this. And unfortunately, in God's kingdom, what happens is you have certain parts of the body where everyone can see the value. And so out of that, they think, well, they can be used by God. But everyone else just kind of survives and makes a living and has a nice family and kind of works at nice jobs and all of these other types of things. And they've never even considered the fact that they were sent by God. Most people have never even thought that God sent me here. That I am a man or you are a woman who is sent by God, designed by him to do something on this earth. That your fingerprints, out of the 7 billion people who are on this earth, not one share these fingerprints. Not one share these fingerprints. That if God so uniquely designed and formed and fashioned your fingers, what else do you think he did in your life? There is something here that you are sent by God to do. And friend, I'm telling you, before you die, you gotta figure it out. And somebody says, well, I was an accident. I was not planned. Did you know all throughout scripture you have examples of that? I'll give you the chief examples that come to my mind. Solomon. Did you know, next screen, Solomon was born out of adultery. He was the definition of unplanned. Like they had no desire whatsoever to conceive a child in that moment. There was nothing that thought, you know, we're gonna have a child and he's gonna be the next king. They were trying not to have a child in that moment. When David heard she was of child, he panicked. He did not want that child. They looked at this child as something that needs to be hidden, as something that needs to be covered. They didn't plan it. They didn't have any ideas for it going into the occasion. They were trying to avoid it. And yet that child was sent here by God. You know who that child was? It was Solomon, the guy who wrote the book of Proverbs, the guy who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, the guy who wrote a good portion of the scriptures we look at. And how much have our lives been blessed by what we've read out of Proverbs that has satisfied our souls and brought strength and wisdom to our life? Why? It may have been unplanned by parents, but it was planned by God. They might not have wanted anything in that moment. Friend, I'm telling you, God wanted that child put here on this earth. You may have been told your whole life you were an accident. You may have been told your whole life, we weren't even trying to have you. You know, you just were a surprise or whatever it may be. But friend, I don't care what your origin story was here on this, in your parents' eyes, you were sent here by God to do something by him. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 29, this is one of these scriptures that everybody in here should have memorized and feed on often, meditate on often. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This is in reference to the children of Israel. They had kept walking away from God, just saying, we don't want to have anything to do with God, especially this Jesus fella who claims to be the Son of God. And God was saying in the book of Romans, we're going to stick with them. We're not going to give up on them. We're going to keep going after them. He says, basically, why would you do that? Because the gifts and the calling of God are beyond repentance. The gifts and the calling. You were formed and fashioned by God. Your DNA, your physical body, that may have been conceived by your parents, but what is in you was conceived by God. He formed you from the inside out. I got scripture I'm about to show you to prove it to you. But friend, I'm telling you, you got some gifts in you. You've got some talents in you that were given to you by God, but you also have callings in you. You have callings. The gift and the calling of God are beyond repentance. God has called you to something, and nothing you can ever do can change it. I remember years ago, someone gave me a big ocean shell out of the ocean somewhere. They were on some island, and these people, you know, they had this excursion where you had to go out and catch your own food. That didn't sound like fun to me. I don't know about you. My wife took me to this place called the Melting Pot one time, and they set down this food in front of me, and like you have to cook. I'm like, what is that? Like I go to a restaurant not to cook my food. She loved it. She thought it was romantic. I couldn't believe how much the bill was with me doing all the work. So with this, you know, you go on this vacation. It's a true story. They go on this vacation they have to catch their own food. And then after they catch it, they cook it. And they caught like this shell that had, it was a conch shell and had, you know, meat in the shell. And so they took the meat out, but then gave me the shell. The shell was huge. And they brought it to me as a gift from their vacation. And so with this, I kept the shell on my desk for months. And I came, this was when I first started preaching. I came to a church service. I didn't have anything to preach. It wasn't because I didn't try. I was trying all week to think of something to preach. It's just I didn't know how to write a message. I'm like, oh God, I cannot go out there with nothing to say and nothing to preach. Like, Jesus, you have to help me in this moment. And I looked at this shell and I grabbed it. And immediately I held it up to my ear. And I don't even know why I did it, but I held it up to my ear. And you know what you could hear in that shell? You could hear the ocean. You could hear the sound of the seas. And immediately the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and he said, you can take the shell out of the ocean, but you can't ever take the ocean out of the shell. The ocean still calls for it. And you can take you out of your calling. You can take you out of your place. You can take you out of your gift, but your calling, it'll call you. God has placed eternity in your heart. And wherever you go on this earth, if you get still and you get quiet, you can hear the call of God beckoning unto you. Why? You're called. Called to what? Called to a bunch of things. There are certain things you're called to. You're called. You're called to places. There are certain places you should be, and there are certain places you shouldn't be. I believe with every fiber of my being, there's certain cities God's called you to and certain ones he hasn't. Certain neighborhoods or certain house he's called you to and certain ones he hasn't. God is meticulous. There is nothing random about God. Nothing random about God. Look how he did creation. Everything with a purpose and a place. Look how go back and read how God told Noah to build the ark. Purposeful. Go back and read how God told David and told Solomon how to build the temple and how he told Moses and Aaron on how to build the tabernacle. He is meticulous with everything that he does. There are places you are called to. There are people you are called to. Do you know Jesus was around certain people and he was around them? He knew I can't commit myself to him. He said he was with them, but I can't commit myself to him. Why? He knew. He knew that there were 12 men who were called to him, and he knew there were others who were not. He knew that there were some who were called by God to be his disciples, and there were others who were not. There are certain people you're called to. There are certain people who are called to you, and there are certain people you are called to. You're called by God, and that calling is beyond repentance. There are tasks that you are called to. There are certain things you're supposed to do on this earth. Before you die, there are certain things that you must accomplish before you leave this earth. Why? You're a man sent by God. You're a woman sent by God. You're not an accident. You were purposed. You were planned by God to do something on this earth, called by God. And no matter what you do, no matter how bad you goof up, I don't care how many mistakes you make, if you still have breath in your lungs, you still got a chance. You are called by God, and that call is beyond repentance. Look at these scriptures. Like I said, they're going to come hard and fast. Book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. I love this in the Message Bible. Oh, yes. I like this. He's got a little sass to him. Oh, yes. You shaped me. Notice, first, inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages, get this, this is God speaking to us. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. Meaning before you ever hit this earth, every season of life you would ever walk in, he saw it. Not only did he see it, he planned it. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That just simply means before Adam and Eve ever goofed up, he knew he would send Jesus. He has known every mistake you had ever made, and he still called you. Come on, somebody. He knew every time you would goof up, and he still picked you. He knew every time you would walk away, and he still called you. All the stages of your life, they are before him. While you were in your mother's womb, he planned out the stages of your life. Notice, the days of my life, the days of my life, today, right now, all of this prepared before I even lived one day. God had a plan for this day. Do you know that? Today, God had a plan. Somebody says, what do you mean, God? Today, for you, God had a plan. Tomorrow, when you wake up, God's got a plan for tomorrow. Monday, God's got a plan for you, for me. You're a woman sent by God. You're a man who is sent by God. God has a plan today, tomorrow, Monday for you. Watch what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Message Bible. Before I shaped you in the womb, notice, before you were in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God knew all about you. He formed you. He fashioned you. Before you were in your mother's womb, God said, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nation. That's what I had in mind for you. That's what he had in mind for Jeremiah. Do you know God's had the same thoughts towards you? Before you were in your mother's womb, he formed you, he fashioned you, and he designed you, gave you gifts for that calling, designed you to fulfill a task on this earth. Notice what Jeremiah goes on to say in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. I know what I'm doing. God always has a plan. I know what I'm doing. I have it all. Somebody say all. All planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Notice, I've got it all planned out. God's got a plan for 2018. God's got a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your children. God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for you. I love this one in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I told you, a lot of scripture. For we are God's own handiwork. We're his workmanship. You were tailor-made. You ever had a tailor-made outfit on? Oh, come on, I can remember my first tailor-made suit. Way back, ladies and gentlemen, back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, suits were in, even for preachers. I mean, they were in. And I had suits that, you know, you buy a suit, you know, and you'd put it on, but it wasn't made for you. And I never will forget when someone bought me my first tailor-made suit. It just flowed with my body. I felt good about myself because it was made for me. God said, I have a plan that's made for you. So you know what the enemy would love for you to do? He'd love for you to get so caught up in social media trying to be like everyone else. Trying to pastor their churches. Trying to wear their clothes. Trying to have their fitness. Trying to take their vacation. That you never take the time to seek out the plan he had for you, the vacation he had for you, the ministry he had for you, the workout program he had for you. Come on, somebody. God has a plan, for it's tailor-made. Devil, he has a one-size-fits-all. He'll take you up and show you the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and make you want them. Why? To turn you into somebody you're not. Why? Because there's something specific that you were sent here by God to do. Called. Notice what he says here. You are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which, notice this, God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Go back to that last screen if we can. You guys are doing excellent on the screens too. Notice, God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. God's got paths for you. Are you on his path? God's got a path for you. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart. Meaning you and I, we do this all the time. We look up and we chart a course. We chart a path of which way we're going to take our life in. And God said, just like you do that, I did that before you ever stepped foot on this earth. I did that before you ever stepped foot on this earth. I looked at your life and I created paths for you. And I love this word paths. I'd have gotten discouraged if it would have said path. Because if you get off on a path, it's like, how in the world do I ever get back on it? But God said, I knew you would mess up before you ever messed up. So I got paths for you, man. Like I've got paths for you, woman. You get off course, I'll create a new path that'll get you right back on course. I've got paths for you. I heard Patsy Caminiti teach on this years ago. This is rabbit trail. Years ago, I heard her teach on this. Man, I like it. I've used this example before, but for those of you who've heard it before, it's good to hear it again. It's safe to hear it again. Patsy Caminiti, one of my favorite just people, ministers, just a woman who just walks with God. Anyway, years ago when she was in Bible school, she felt a call to ministry, not just a call to ministry, she felt a call to the nations. As she began to seek God, God began to show her her call. That's how it works. And she felt this tug, like this tug. And she read this book from this lady who was a missionary from India. And God really spoke to her out of that book. And that'll happen to you. You'll pick up certain things and God just speaks to you out of it. You'll sit in certain services and God will just speak to you. His Holy Spirit, he'll quicken something to you on the inside. Just something gets stirred. And she was reading this book and the Holy Spirit was just quickening something to her heart about the nations. And she knew, I've got a call. Well, this lady who wrote the book, she was single and never got married. And when Patsy read that book, she thought, that's me. I'll be single and I'll never get married. And so she went all throughout. She went to the same Bible school I went to, Rhema Bible Training Center. They called it Rhema Bridal Training Center because everyone went there to get married. So like all of these people, that's true. All these people would come there. You know, it's like, I feel a call to ministry. You feel a call to ministry. Maybe we should walk out this call together. So all these people, you know, they go there try to find, you know, someone else who's called as well. And so she's there and all these people are getting married, but she had no interest in it. No interest in dating, like no interest in it whatsoever. And she met this young man by the name of Tony. He was Italian. Ooh, and she liked Tony. She liked him. This was the first like she had in a while. And so she came to God and she's like, you know, God, you know, what is this? I thought I'd be a missionary and I'd be alone. I'd be, you know, doing this God thing by myself. And she said she was praying about this and it bothered her because it just conflicted. And so with this, as she was praying, she had a vision. And the vision, just a closed vision, not an open vision. Open vision is where you see with your eyes open. That's rare. Very, very seldom happens. You see it can happen though in the book of Acts, but it's rare. But with this, you can have a closed vision sometimes. You're just praying and you see something. It's like dreaming with your awake, but your eyes are closed, but you see something. It's like dreaming while you're awake. And with this, she saw in this vision, she saw a trail out in the desert that was just straight, a straight path out in the desert. There was nothing there, no scenery, no nothing. Straight path in a desert, nothing else there. And she saw she was in this car and it was just speeding. I mean, just speeding, because there was nothing to slow her down. There's nobody else on the road. There was nothing to look at. There was nothing to stop for, just straight line. Then she saw a mountain, it shifted image to a mountain, and with the most beautiful, lush landscape you've ever seen in your life, all around this mountain. And the path up the mountain, it just curved and it twisted all the way around the mountain. Well, if you've ever been on a trail like that in your car and the trail's real narrow and that kind of deal, you know you ain't going fast. You are not going fast. I remember up the mountains to a place called Sikh Him, India. With this man, it's like, woo, could you slow down? You don't want to go fast on those trails. Why? One, it's beautiful. But two, like, you could fall. You could hurt yourself. And with this, she was looking. She's going real slow in this car. But, man, it was so beautiful. There's so much to look at. Just, woo, pretty. She's here and she's seeing all this, and God spoke to her heart. He said, that first vision is you if you never get married. That's you if you don't get married. Be a straight shot. Little distractions. You'll get there a little bit faster. You'll do some things faster and quicker. That's your life if you don't get married. Then he said, that other side is if you do get married. You do get married and you have kids. It's going to be a little bit funner. It's going to be more pretty. It's going to be beautiful, but it's going to slow you down some. He said, but both will lead to the same destination I have for you. But one is a little prettier. Another one, just kind of straight line. Paths. Paths. See, I'm not afraid of getting off path. Because I know if I do, God will get me back on. He doesn't have just one. He's got paths. He's got paths. Paths you should walk in, but he can't guarantee you would. But you should. Peter got off path. God brought him back on. Aren't you thankful God can get you back on? Oh, come on, somebody. God can get you back on. There was this man in Scripture by the name of Paul. For years, his life was off path. God had a plan for him. God had a call on his life, but for years, his life was off that path. And there was something on the inside that was just kicking at him the whole time, kicking against the pricks. See, God's put eternity in your heart. Your heart knows the path. Your heart, it knows God. So it'll call to you. The Holy Spirit will call to you to receive Jesus. But that's the only thing he called you to. That's the first call, because if you don't get that, nothing else matters. That's the first call, but it's by far not the last. That first call comes up and it draws you to Jesus. But then that draw will come on other things. You'll be sitting around people and God will draw your heart to them. You'll be in a place and God will draw your heart to them. You'll get in a church and God will draw your heart to the church. You don't even know what it is. Just something about that place. You felt drawn to it. You're called there. You'll come into a place and you just feel a draw there. And it's not even a natural attraction, because sometimes you look at things and it's not even that naturally attractive to your eyes. But God doesn't see as a man sees. We look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the call. He looks at the heart. And with this, there's certain just things that'll call to you, that'll reach out to you. And Paul's denying that call because his whole life he had been told by his parents he was supposed to be somebody else. They sent him to the best schools that would take his life somewhere else. They took his life and with it, they had a plan for it. And if you're not careful, you'll let other people's plan turn into God's plan. And it's not. It's not. Sometimes people can get so emotional about a situation or a person that they couldn't hear from God to save their life about that issue. And the reason why they can't is their heart and natural heart and mind is speaking so loud they can't hear the still small voice of God because their flesh has already created a plan and is so passionate about it that they can't hear God speak. And with this, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this happen as a pastor. I've seen people dating people, and she knows God doesn't want her there. The whole time we're talking, they won't even ask me what I think about it because they know what I'll tell them. But they're so emotional, they're not open for anything else. And that's the thing with God's Holy Spirit. Satan will pull you. God, you must yield to. You've got to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You've got to stop and you've got to look. And with this, in Paul's life, he had so much influence telling him who he was. And they were all wrong. Do you know people came to Jesus and they thought they knew who he was and they were wrong? He said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some people say you're this. Some people say you're this." All wrong. Most people, they'll get it wrong all the time. That's why you can't confer with flesh and blood all the time. They'll take your life off track. And Paul, his whole life, he's been told what these people are doing over here is wrong, and you are to go after that with all of your might, and that's all he's heard. What he doesn't know is, well, what he doesn't know with his flesh, but his heart knows it, is he's actually called to be one of them. He's called to be one of these Christians. And not only that, he's called to help make a lot of Christians. And so he goes on this path of searching. All the while, he's watching these Christians getting beaten and persecuted. He's holding the garments of men who were stoning Christians, watching it all happen. But something on the inside, destiny, eternity, God, the Holy Spirit, is calling. His calling is calling. He's not listening. So God steps in and he intervenes, knocks him off his high horse. And he shows him the call. First question out of Paul's mouth is this: what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It's amazing how his heart knew that was the next question. Not just, "Oh, I'm loved by God enough to save me." Nope. I know that now. What do you want me to do? Why? He was a man sent by God. What do you want me to do? You're a man. You're sent by God. That's who you are. Sent. What do you want, God? What do you want me to do? And God showed him. Look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 1. I'm a little off sync in my notes. You go, yeah, there you go. But when it pleased God, this is Paul writing, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. 3 years later, that's when he talked to people about it. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm running out of time, but here's my point. Paul went decades of his life frustrated, irritated, because there was something in him that was calling him to something else. And friend, I want to encourage you in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care if your parents meant to have you or if you were told your whole life they didn't mean to. And maybe they were happy about that. You were a good surprise. Or maybe they were upset by that. I don't know. I don't know your background. I don't know if you felt like a burden. I don't know if you felt like you were unworthy. I don't know if you felt like that life has taken so much out of you that you're good for nothing now. But here's what I do know by the holy word of God. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. No one has your DNA. No one has your fingerprints. No one shares your call. You're a piece of the puzzle that only you can fill. And Satan would love for you to feel like you don't matter. He would love for you to make you feel like you don't count. Because as long as you believe that, and not that you're a person who was sent here by God, you'll never take the time to ask God, what is it? And you'll live frustrated, just like Paul, for the rest of your life, because you're kicking against pricks that only the call of God can solve. No pill can solve it. No money can solve it. No house can solve it. No job can solve it. You know what solves it? The call. And if we will come to a place where we come to God and we say, okay, God, I believe I am sent by you here. I was a man, in your case, a woman, or whoever you may be, sent here by you to do something. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What is your plan for my life? Friend, I'm telling you, that's where peace is. And that's where significance is. So let every one of us believe that we are people sent here by God. And instead of trying to create our future, let's take some time to discover it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. He's in this place. Called, appointed, and equipped for such a time as this. No more belittling yourself. No more telling yourself you don't count or you don't matter. No, magnify your call. Magnify your office. Bring significance even to this season. For I've called you by my mighty hand. I desire to lift you up. I desire to show you the paths I have prepared for you. But I cannot do that with a head hung low with shame. I cannot do that with someone who esteems themselves as being unworthy. No, lift up your head. I have made you worthy. Even if you are a sheep who has gone astray, I've been calling unto you, asking you to come home. I put you on my shoulders and I rejoice, not because you went astray. I rejoice because I have you back in the fold. I have you back in a place where you can hear my voice, where you can be my sheep and I can be your shepherd. So lift your head up. Rejoice and be glad. You are called. You are equipped. And you are destined for a purpose that is so much greater than what you see right now. Dream, I'll help you. Journal, I'll help you. Begin to call upon me, I'll show you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you haven't even conceived of yet. As you fellowship with my spirit, I'll conceive something in your heart, and you'll walk away from your times of prayer encouraged and equipped and ready to run. Walk with me as I walk with you. I'm not ashamed of you. You're my child. You're a person who was sent here by me. Act like it. Believe it. Walk in it. We thank you, Lord. We'll do it. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight. And for whatever reason, you've drifted from God. Maybe it was sin. Maybe in your mind it was even gross or harmful. And you've drifted. But you sense the Holy Spirit just calling you. Calling you back to the fold, calling you back home. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus, he's coming for you. He calls you by name. And if you're here tonight and you want to come home, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just lift your hand all over this place if that's you? Hands going up. Anybody else? Oh, he loves you so much. See those hands. Amazing. See that hand. God bless you. Now, everybody in this place, just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful you've called me by name. I thank you, Father. My past, it is forgiven. It's washed. I am clean, so I forgive myself. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. I repent of my past. I'm changing. I'm going in a different direction. Sensitive to your call. Sensitive to your plan. You show me, Father. I'll walk it out. And I boldly declare, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.